Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ripples by Robert Innes. Narrated by Paul Woodson. Chapter 1. Blake closed the door behind him as he walked into Juniper Cottage and sighed with relief. His last day, as last days before time off often were, had been busy, irritating, and had a general tone about it that suggested that it was never going to end. But now he had finally closed the door on his last day before a 2-week break, and the first thing he was going to do was spend the rest of the evening in front of the television and relax. Blake pulled his shirt and tie off with force as he ran upstairs to change into the comfiest clothes he owned. He opened his top drawer and was presented with a choice between an old set of jogging bottoms he had owned since long before he had moved to Harmschapel, and a bright blue and green spotty onesie that his best friend Sally Ann had sent him in the post for Christmas. Blake knew full well she had sent it to him as a joke. It was the last thing on earth he would ever be seen wearing by anybody. But as he pulled it out and rubbed the soft material between his fingers, he had to admit that it did feel and look as though it would perfectly complement an evening vegetating in front of Netflix. Just as he was pulling it out and debating as to whether he would really consider wearing such a garish item of clothing, there was a knock at the door. He felt thankful for it bringing him to his senses. He threw the onesie back in the drawer, pulled a T-shirt on that was hanging over a chair, and ran back downstairs.
"Darling!"
Jacqueline, his landlady and neighbour from across the road, exclaimed happily as he opened the door.
"How are you?"
"Jacqueline," Blake said, already feeling that his evening of relaxation had come to an end. "I'm fine, thanks. What can I do for you?" With her crimson-red hair lacquered thick with hairspray in her usual beehive, Jacqueline pushed past him and into the cottage.
"Am I right in thinking that you now have a bit of time off from the station?"
"Yes," said Blake cautiously as he closed the door behind her.
2 weeks off, wasn't it?"
"Yes."
"Do you have much planned?"
"Well..."
"Because do I have an offer for you, my darling?"
Jacqueline pulled out a leaflet from a coat pocket and waved it in front of him.
"And what would that be?"
Blake asked. She passed him the leaflet and indicated that he should read it. Blake warily took it from her and read aloud.
"The Manor of the Lakes, bed and breakfast."
He glanced at her.
"Manor of the Lakes?"
She waved her hand frantically to invite him to carry on reading. Blake sighed before continuing.
"Situated near the beautiful Peak District, the manor's grounds lie in a picturesque location where you can truly be at one with nature. No more so than with the manor's critically acclaimed lakes, of which there are no less than 2 in the gardens alone. When you're not taking in the panoramic views that are merely a stone's throw away from the manor's grounds, we offer a luxurious spa service like no other. Choose from a wide selection of treatments, massages, and other such services from our expert staff before spending the evening dining in our restaurant, located not a 5-minute walk away from the grounds. Here at the Manor of the Lakes, we guarantee that you will leave feeling like your old self again." Blake stopped reading and raised a disdainful eyebrow.
"What do you think?"
Jacqueline asked, smiling excitedly at him.
"It all sounds lovely," Blake replied. "But what does this have to do with me?"
"That's the best bit," Jacqueline cried. "I know the family, well, I say no. An old friend of mine, Polly Urquhart, married into the family a few months ago, just before they opened. She's offered me a fantastic discount, just for me, as long as I can persuade 3 other people to come along."
"Wait a minute," Blake said. "You said you had an offer for me. How much is this going to cost? It doesn't look cheap."
"I told you,"
Jacqueline said, pulling the leaflet out of his hands and opening it up.
"She's offered me a discount. For 4 people this would normally cost somewhere in the region of about £500. But because it's new and they want to attract as many people as possible, they're doing a week for 200.
She held up the inside of the leaflet, waving it around in what she clearly thought was in a tempting manner.
And with the discount she's given me, in return for four of us going, we can get a week there for £100, between four of us. £20, Blake, that's all this will set you back. And look at these pictures, don't you think that's worth it?
£25, Blake corrected, taking the leaflet back and examining the contents. He had to admit, the pictures inside certainly seemed to do the place justice. The interior of the mansion boasted sweeping staircases, sparkling chandeliers, and the lakes looked wide and crystal clear. "A week?" he asked cynically.
"That's right," Jacqueline said, beaming at him. "Come on, Blake. You work so hard, you've hardly stopped since you came to Harm's Chapel. Most people would be biting my hand off for an opportunity like this."
Blake couldn't deny that life in Harm's Chapel had been anything but quiet since he had moved to the village. When he had first arrived, he had been thrown straight into one of the most beguiling cases of his policing career. And then, no less than a month ago, he had almost been struck by lightning at the top of the church tower whilst trying, and ultimately failing, to stop a killer from jumping to his death. Despite his reservations, he did feel that he was due a holiday.
"And who exactly did you have in mind to make it up to four?"
"Well," Jacqueline said, "I was thinking we could bring a plus one each. I'm sure I can find somebody. And I was thinking you might want to bring that friend of yours, the pretty one."
"What pretty one?"
"You know," Jacqueline said coyly, "that nice boy you get along with so well."
"You mean Harrison?"
Blake said, his stomach performing a dull somersault at the mention of the name.
"Harrison, that's the one,"
Jacqueline said, putting her hands together enthusiastically, though Blake suspected that she had known his name all along.
"Think of the life that poor boy has had. If anybody deserves a nice relaxing break away from the village, it's him."
It was certainly true that Harrison had not had the easiest of lives. In the relatively short time that Blake had known him, both of Harrison's parents had been sent to prison for the murder of his abusive ex-boyfriend Daniel. It had also been Harrison's life Blake had been trying to save from the murderer who had jumped from the church roof. As a result, Blake and Harrison had developed a close bond, and it was one that apparently had not gone unnoticed by some of the other villagers, including Jacqueline.
"So," Jacqueline continued, ignoring Blake's attempts to interrupt her, "I'll give my friend a call and tell her to expect us, what, Monday evening?"
"Hang on, hang on," Blake said, as Jacqueline started to walk out the door. "Today's Friday."
"I know it is," Jacqueline said, nodding.
"Monday is 3 days away."
"So?"
"So what if Harrison can't make it?"
Jacqueline gave him a knowing smile.
"You'll think of something. Now I must dash. I have a phone call to make."
She squealed excitedly, holding the leaflet up in the air and skipped out the door. Blake closed the door with his foot and bit his lip in deep thought. Since the events at the top of the church tower, Blake and Harrison had grown closer, and there was a mutual attraction that both men had openly admitted to. But Harrison, quite reasonably in Blake's mind, had asked for some time alone to come to terms with all the events of the past year before getting himself into another relationship. Blake threw himself on the sofa and exhaled. He did rather like the idea of a week away from the village. It certainly beat any vague plans he had about spending the majority of his time off in the Dog's Tail, the village pub. Blake was, however, unsure Harrison would take an invitation in the way it was intended. Blake certainly knew what it felt like for love and relationships to be the last thing on his mind. When he had walked in on his own ex-boyfriend Nathan in bed with a woman, the last thing he even considered for a number of months afterwards was the possibility of starting again with somebody else. That was until he met Harrison. There was only one person he could think of to get in touch with, someone he could always trust to help him think clearly and sensibly. He pulled his mobile out of his pocket and pressed call.
"Hello?"
"Sally Ann."
Blake smiled at the sound of her voice.
As usual, whenever he referred to his best friend by her full name over the phone, he could picture her cringing as if he was running fingernails over a blackboard.
"I was going to say, 'How are you? I miss you so much. But now you get nothing,' Sally said flatly down the phone.
Blake laughed and lay back on the sofa. "I need your advice."
"Don't you always?"
The click of the kettle being switched on told Blake he had timed his call with her, arriving home from the station he had originally worked in, when he had lived in Sale, near Manchester, before he had walked in on Nathan and requested a transfer, as far away from him as possible.
"How was work?" Blake asked.
Sally blew a raspberry at him down the receiver. "Pants. The superintendent's been at the station all week. You know what Gresham's like around her."
Blake rolled his eyes. One of the things he had felt absolutely no qualms about leaving behind when he had moved to Harms Chapel was his old boss, Inspector Gresham. As cold and uptight as he was, crabby and unreasonable, his behaviour somehow always managed to intensify whenever he had officers of a higher rank breathing down his neck.
"He had me on my hands and knees, scrubbing his floor. Never mind the fact I've got a DUI to interview, and I mean waiting for me to interview him. Oh no, it's far more important for the superintendent to be able to see her ugly face in his office floor than it is for me to be keeping scum off the streets."
She let out a moan of frustration, and then there was a thumping sound from, Blake imagined, her throwing herself down on her sofa.
"Anyway," she said, "what can I do you for?"
Blake explained to her about the week away he had just been informed he was going on, and the subsequent invitation he was expected to offer to Harrison to join him.
"So?"
Sally said, in a tone that suggested she didn't see the problem.
"What do you need my advice about?"
"Oh, come on, Sally," Blake replied. "You know how things are with me and Harrison. I don't want him to think I'm trying to hurry things along. I've told him he can have as much time as he needs. Christ, if I'd gone through half the things with men that he had, I think I'd turn straight. Failing that, I'd become a monk. The last thing he needs is me putting pressure on him."
"Oh, Blake," Sally chuckled, "you are an idiot sometimes."
"I knew I could rely on you to be helpful."
"Would you like Harrison to join you on this week away?"
"Of course I would," Blake said. "Otherwise it's just me going away with my landlady and some poor sod she pulled the week before. How sad is that?"
"Very," Sally said, in a matter-of-fact sort of way. "Who goes away with their landlady?"
"Someone whose best friend is too far away to drag along," Blake said. "You're sure I can't persuade you to join me instead? I'll miss you."
"And I miss you," Sally replied warmly.
"And believe you me, if I could, I'd be there waiting for you already. But no chance. Gresham's banned all holidays while the superintendent's sniffing around." "I can still come and see you," Blake pointed out. "Judging by the location, it's not that far away from Sale. I'll sneak away one night and we can drink gin."
"Sounds great, but in the meantime, you're going to hang up the phone, go round to see Harrison and invite him on this bloody holiday. Look at it as fate, Blake. It sounds romantic. Lakes, spas, fine dining, a mansion. Do you need there to be cherubs and a string quartet for you to realise the potential here?"
Blake sighed and closed his eyes. "And if he says no?"
"He's not going to say no, is he? Honestly, Blake, for a man whose job it is to work with the public, you act like you don't have the first clue about how people think. You go in there, and you specify that it's purely a just friends set-up. You thought he might like some time away from the village. God knows I would if I was him. Sell it to him. Make him an offer he can't refuse."
"I'll try," Blake said.
"No, you won't try. You'll do," Sally said firmly. "Goodbye."
And with that, she hung up. Blake laughed heartily and put his phone back in his pocket, stared up at the ceiling and weighed up his options. Being at home, doing nothing but lying on his sofa, wasn't going to get him an answer either way, and Sally was right. If anybody deserved a holiday, it was Harrison Baxter. Blake stood up and ran upstairs to his room to get changed. even if Harrison was going to turn down the invitation. There was no need for Blake to look anything other than his best. Half an hour later, Blake was standing outside of Harrison's cottage, mentally rehearsing what he was going to say. He stood at the door, preparing to knock, but hesitated. Deep down, he felt ridiculous for feeling so nervous. The last time he had felt like this was over 6 years ago, when he had first asked Nathan out on a date. But the 7 years' age difference he had on Harrison felt like absolutely nothing at all now, and any life experience Blake felt he should have accumulated seemed to have utterly deserted him. "Stop being an idiot," he told himself. "Hello, Harrison. I was wondering if you'd like to come away for a week, just as friends, no pressure." Blake took a deep breath and knocked sharply on the door. After a moment, the door opened and Blake smiled broadly, but his expression quickly changed. "What the hell are you doing here?" Jacqueline beamed happily at him.
"Hello, darling. Do come in. Harrison won't be a moment. He's just taken his goat outside to do her business."
She stepped aside to let Blake inside, who walked in, staring at her, bemused.
"Don't look so surprised, Blake. If I'm going to go away with Harrison, I thought I at least should get to know him first."
Jacqueline sat down, picking up her mug of tea that Harrison had presumably made her, and sipped it innocently.
"You mean you've already asked him?" Blake asked.
He wasn't sure if he was annoyed at his landlady for interfering, or relieved that he wasn't going to have to ask Harrison himself.
"Of course I have, darling," Jacqueline replied. "I've already rang my friend and booked the mansion. It's all arranged."
"He said yes?" Blake asked, eyeing the kitchen door in case Harrison walked in before he had prepared himself.
"Well, he seemed surprised to see me,"
Jacqueline said, sipping her tea again. "In fact, I think he was a bit taken aback that I knew where he lived."
"I'm surprised to see you, and I'm also a bit taken aback that you knew where he lived," Blake returned hotly.
"You know Harms Chapel?" Jacqueline said. "It's a small village. It didn't take long to ask around. Just a couple of phone calls, really."
Blake leant back on the sofa and sighed.
"Now, don't be annoyed, darling," Jacqueline said, tapping him on the knee with her hand. "I didn't know whether you'd ask him in time. I needed to get confirmation. I'm not trying to interfere."
She shrugged as Blake raised a doubtful eyebrow at her.
"Not intentionally, anyway."
Blake shook his head in disbelief.
"What did he say?"
"He hasn't really said anything yet," Jacqueline said.
"His goat seemed rather insistent on being taken outside. He looked like he's thinking about it, though." Blake stood up and ventured slowly towards the kitchen. As he opened the door, he saw Harrison in the garden through the window. His soft features and wavy blonde hair seemed to be complemented by the approaching darker evening light. Betty, Harrison's goat that he had owned since he was a child, was running around his feet, but Harrison did not seem to be paying her very much attention, instead leaning against one of the wheelie bins, staring into the distance. Tentatively opening the back door to the garden, Blake stepped outside. Before he could say anything, Betty bleated at him and took a few steps towards him, kicking the ground as if she were a bull about to charge. Blake glared back at her, remembering the last time he had been at Harrison's house and Betty had tried to knock him over. Then he looked up at Harrison and smiled.
"Hey."
Harrison jumped slightly, Blake clearly having broken into his thoughts, then stuck his leg out so that Betty couldn't attempt to charge at him.
"Blake! Hi, are you all right?"
"I'm well, thanks," Blake said. "You?"
"Yeah, not bad," Harrison replied. "Didn't expect to be entertaining tonight, though."
Blake rolled his eyes. "Sorry about Jacqueline. I swear I didn't know she was here."
Harrison nodded. "So," he said, keeping an eye on Betty, who seemed to have temporarily lost interest in Blake and was sniffing at a clump of weeds at the back of the yard.
"You're going away for a week?"
"Yes," Blake said cautiously.
"I didn't know until about an hour ago. She just sort of sprung it on me. Has Jacqueline mentioned where we're going?" Yeah, she said about some sort of spa mansion-type place. It sounds nice.
Blake leant against the wheelie bin. Did she mention that we wanted you to come with us?
Harrison looked at the ground. Well, she did invite me, yeah?
I know it's short notice. You're probably working. We just thought you might like some time away, but...
I'm not working, actually,
Harrison said, putting his hands in his pockets. Jai's given me the week off from the shop. I was owed some holiday.
You mean you're free?
Harrison nodded.
Totally. I just didn't know whether you wanted me to come or not.
I do.
Really?
Of course, Blake smiled. And I know what it must look like, but trust me, I'm thinking purely as friends. Don't think that I'm trying to push anything, it's not like that. No pressure, just some time away from Harm's Chapel. What do you think?
I didn't know whether you knew that I'd be invited or not,
Harrison said, looking happy and relieved. I didn't want you to think that I was the one pushing things by just turning up.
I would never think that, Blake said, glancing down at Betty, who had returned to glaring at him from across the yard.
So you'll come?
I'd love to, Harrison said, looking delighted. I really would.
Great, Blake said, grinning. Can you afford it? Jacqueline's got us some deal where it'll only cost £25, as well as whatever money you want to bring along. You know what these places are like. They probably charge thousands for a glass of water. I can lend you some if you're struggling.
Harrison shook his head firmly. I'm fine for money. The only thing is that I'll have to get somebody to look after Betty. Feed her, let her out, things like that. I'll go ask my neighbour.
Will you be all right for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure, Blake said, pulling his e-cig out of his pocket.
I'll keep an eye on her.
I won't be long.
He walked back into the house, leaving Blake alone with the goat in the yard. She stepped forwards slowly and bleated loudly at him.
And you can pack that in, Blake told her sharply. Otherwise, I'll be making sure he sends you off to a Satanist for the week.
Chapter 2 The next morning when Harrison arrived at Juniper Cottage, Blake was already outside, throwing his own suitcase into the back of his car. As Harrison approached him, he looked up and smiled.
Hi there. I was thinking we should maybe stop at a petrol station on the way and get some supplies, Blake said. It's going to be quite a long journey, I'm afraid.
No worries, Harrison said, smiling back. Been ages since I had a road trip.
You got everything you need?
Yeah, just about, I think, Harrison said, nodding.
Do you want to put your case in here? Blake asked, holding the boot door open. There should be room. Doesn't look like you're taking a lot. Are you sure it's going to be enough?
Harrison had wondered that himself, and wasn't even sure if what he had brought was suitable.
Yeah, it'll be fine, he lied, hauling his case into the boot of the car.
Blake shrugged as he slammed the car boot down.
I'm pretty sure we'll be near enough to a town, should you need anything else.
I wasn't sure what to bring, really, Harrison confessed, nervously putting his hands in his pockets.
I've never been anywhere like this before.
Don't worry, Blake replied cheerfully. We'll get you sorted out if we need to. He glanced at his phone and frowned.
I don't know where Jacqueline is. We said 12.
He wandered across the road to where his landlady lived in the cottage opposite and knocked on the door. Harrison glanced up to the bedroom window and thought he saw a face quickly disappear behind a curtain. He was just about to alert Blake to it when they heard the sound of someone running downstairs. Then Jacqueline opened the door and peered out at them, looking very strange. Her usual tall red beehive was floppy, and she did not have a single scrap of makeup on her face.
Jacqueline, Blake said, staring at her, apparently just as bemused. Are you ready to go?
Oh, darling, I'm not well,
Jacqueline replied, her voice extremely croaky.
I've woken up with this terrible flu.
As if to illustrate her ailment, Jacqueline coughed loudly. Harrison glanced at Blake. It was not the most convincing cough he'd ever heard.
You seemed all right yesterday, Blake said, his eyes narrowing.
I know, darling,
Jacqueline wheezed back, coughing violently again.
"But it's taken all I've got to drag myself out of bed to come to the door. You'll have to just go without me."
"Without you?" Blake exclaimed, raising his eyebrows. "But what about the money? You've paid for our rooms in the mansion, haven't you?"
"Don't worry about that," Jacqueline said, eyeing Harrison through the crack in the door.
Harrison could swear she had a slightly mischievous smile on her face.
"We can talk about that when you get back. Just go, Blake, honestly. The two of you have a lovely time."
"But Jacqueline..."
"Now I must get back to bed. Doctor's orders,"
Jacqueline cried, her voice temporarily returning to normal, before she burst into another bout of dramatic coughing.
"Goodbye, darlings."
Blake stared at the door as it was slammed in their faces before turning to Harrison, stunned.
"I think we might have been set up here."
Harrison scratched the back of his head awkwardly.
"Do you still want to go?"
"Yeah," Blake said quickly before stopping himself. "If you want to, that is."
Harrison's stomach flipped dully with excitement, but he tried to look casual.
"I've got nothing better to do if you haven't."
Blake glared at Jacqueline's door again, before letting out a reserved sigh and smiling at Harrison.
"Looks like it's just you and me, then."
Blake had not been exaggerating when he had said that the drive was a long one, and it was made 10 times longer by the fact that everybody in the surrounding area seemed to be taking advantage of the unusually bright and sunny weather, and had set out on exertions themselves. They had to battle with so many traffic jams that by the time they were finally driving through the surrounding villages towards the Manor of the Lakes, the sun had long since set, and Blake's headlights were on full power as they both scrutinized the sides of the road for a sign to tell them where to go.
"There,"
Harrison exclaimed finally, pointing into the darkness ahead of them. A handwritten sign was sticking out of the road, barely visible until the car's beams illuminated it.
"Thank God," Blake cried. "As much as I'm enjoying this me and you time, it'd be far better sitting in that swanky-looking bar in the pamphlet."
He glanced across at Harrison.
"Are you all right?"
Harrison had rather hoped his nervousness had been kept hidden, but then he remembered that Blake was too good at his job as a detective to be fooled so easily.
"I'm okay. I'm just a bit nervous, I guess."
Blake frowned.
"About what?"
Harrison sighed and rubbed his eyes, which were now itching with tiredness from the long journey.
"Just this, really. I've never done this with a guy before, the whole going away together thing."
Blake gave him a sympathetic smile.
"I meant what I said, you know. About this just being a mate's thing, if that's what you want it to be. There's seriously no pressure. Both of us could do with some R&R, and that's exactly what we're going to get. By the look of the pictures, the place is big enough for us not to be in each other's pockets all week, if that's what you're worried about."
"No, no," Harrison said hurriedly. "I didn't mean it like that. I do want to spend time with you. I just don't want to mess it up, I guess."
Blake took a long inhalation on his e-cig and blew the vapour out of the window.
"Would it help if I told you I'm nervous too?"
Harrison could not help but raise his eyebrows in surprise.
"You? Nervous? Why?"
Blake laughed.
"Oh, Harrison."
"What?"
"For exactly the same reasons you are, Blondie. Have you even considered that I might be the one that messes things up? I've thought of nothing else since last night."
He took one look at the confused look on Harrison's face and laughed again.
"Remember, it's been a long time since I went anywhere like this with another guy, especially one I fancy. Don't hog all the awkward feelings and embarrassment for yourself. Trust me."
Harrison could not remember when he had last felt so touched and reassured at the same time. Reaching into the glove compartment, he pulled out the large bag of sweets they had bought from the village shop before they had set off.
"All right. Here's to mutual nervousness, then."
Blake grinned as he picked out a toffee from the bag.
"Mutual nervousness."
The silhouette of the huge towering manor came into view in the distance. Against the backdrop of the night sky it looked large and imposing. They could just make out the small orange glows of lights through the multitude of windows around the building.
"Is that it?" asked Harrison.
"Must be," Blake replied.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?